Good day. This is Pastor George filling in for Pastor Rock once again as we press on to complete week 77 of our 91-week journey. This week we settled firmly into the Gospel of John, specifically the first 9 chapters. And today I want to consider chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, because I think they provide a small glimpse into the mystery and workings of the Holy Spirit and how He operates not only in the world, but ultimately in our lives as well. In this familiar passage, we read about a late-night visitor named Nicodemus, a Pharisee who pursued a conversation with Jesus in an effort to discover the facts about his true identity. And like many of you, even though I've read this account dozens and dozens of times over the years, I remain intrigued by this very personal encounter. Because although Nicodemus came searching for truth, little did he know he was about to get much more than he ever bargained for. In fact, what Jesus presented to him was so inconceivable and so counterintuitive that he severely struggled to comprehend the mere thought of it. A clear reminder that spiritual truth can only be spiritually discerned, because a carnal mind can't make sense of the things of God. That's why the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now, as you know, what Nicodemus heard from Jesus wasn't a lesson in identity. Instead, it was a revelation in the new birth, something that was in God's future game plan but hadn't unfolded quite yet. Now, the new birth, or the requirement to be born again in order to enter God's kingdom, was a fresh, radical idea, especially for someone like Nicodemus, a Pharisee who grew up believing that kingdom entrance was gained through birthright and by keeping and maintaining the law, neither of which were true. Now let me add at this point, there's lots of essential truths that separate Christianity from other world religions. Things like the incarnation, the atonement, grace, and resurrection, just to name a few. But in addition to these extraordinary truths unique to Christianity, something new emerges in the conversation with Jesus as Nicodemus begins to probe deeper. And that is, the Christian faith will not only be set apart because of what God will do for us, but also because of what God will do in us, and that makes a remarkable difference. Jesus told Nicodemus that mankind is only capable of reproducing human life, and human life is destined for death. But when we're born again, or born from above, the Holy Spirit will give birth to spiritual life within us. What a revolutionary thought, not only for Nicodemus, but also for you and me. Not only did Jesus atone for our sins, something we could never do for ourselves, but when we trust in Him and His atoning work, He supernaturally fuses His spirit with our spirits, thereby resurrecting our spirits from the dead. What a wonderful mystery. You can't really make this stuff up. And I don't think we as Christians think about this enough and consider the divine power within us. Because no longer do we need to seek God externally, we only need to turn inwardly, because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within us, if we belong to Him. When you pray, do you seek and listen for God internally, or do you try to summon Him from heaven? Both are true because God is everywhere. But if the scriptures are accurate, then the Spirit of Christ lives in you, and that's your hope of glory. You don't have to look far to find Him because you take Him with you wherever you go. How much do you really think about that each day? And how much does that truth influence your day-to-day activities? Now, I also found it interesting in this passage that the Greek word for spirit in verse 5 can also be translated wind, because the Holy Spirit has attributes that are similar to the wind. For example, both are invisible. They can't be seen with a naked eye, yet we can feel their presence. They can both move gently and subtly without notice, or they can stir up great power and authority. Acts chapter 2 reminds us when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, He did so with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, also described as being powerful and violent. Now the interesting thing about that is what Jesus said in verse 8, that we can hear the wind, but we can't determine where it came from or where it's going. And then he adds this, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That means when we're born again of the Holy Spirit, we have an opportunity to move in cadence or in step with the Spirit as he leads us, wherever his wind blows. At least that's the new capability we have within us. But because of our free will, something God will never override, it's possible for us to move to the beat of our own drum instead. And if we're honest, we all do that from time to time because we're all prone to wander. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves out of sync with the Holy Spirit, trying to move against the wind rather than with it. As the people of God, he's given us his own Spirit to guide us, providing us with every opportunity to walk in accordance with the Spirit in us and not according to our flesh. Now, it takes some intentional effort and practice to get there. But think of walking in the Spirit as getting caught up in a divine jet stream or a current, allowing the Holy Spirit to blow us wherever he wants according to the will of God. And that's something worth surrendering to and pursuing. Now, one final thought that jumped out at me before I close. I think this passage also reminds us that when we pursue intimacy with God and seek him for truth, like Nicodemus did, whether it's in his word or sitting silent before him, listening for his still small voice, or even through the godly counsel of other mature Christians, he's inclined to give us what we need, and perhaps even more. He's not going to give us a snake if we ask for a fish. But then it's up to us to receive the truth he gives and apply it to our lives. Nicodemus sought truth, and he pursued Jesus for it. And Jesus didn't disappoint. In fact, he rewarded Nicodemus with two of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, John 3:3 and John 3:16. He shared with Nicodemus secrets to the kingdom of heaven. And to Nicodemus's credit, he did very little talking and a whole lot of listening. Unfortunately, Scripture doesn't reveal what Nicodemus ultimately did with the information he gathered from Jesus. We can only speculate. But one thing is for certain. He's going to get on in history as having one of the most famous personal encounters ever recorded with Jesus. And the truth Jesus shared with him was nothing less than pure gold. Have a great day, and listen for the wind.